Chapter 29. Whereby the reader will be enabled to trace the further course of Miss Fanny Squeers' love, and to ascertain whether it ran smooth or otherwise. It was a fortunate circumstance for Miss Fanny Squeers, that when her worthy papa returned home on the night of the small tea party, he was what the initiated term too far gone to observe the numerous tokens of extreme vexation of spirit which were plainly visible in her countenance. Being, however, of a rather violent and quarrelsome mood in his cups, it is not impossible that he might have fallen out with her, either on this or some imaginary topic, if the young lady had not, with a foresight and prudence highly commendable, kept a boy up, on purpose, to bear the first brunt of the good gentleman's anger, which, having vented itself in a variety of kicks and cuffs, subsided sufficiently to admit of his being persuaded to go to bed, which he did with his boots on, and an umbrella under his arm. The hungry servant attended Miss Squeers in her own room according to custom, to curl her hair, perform the other little offices of her toilet, and administer as much flattery as she could get up, for the purpose. For Miss Squeers was quite lazy enough, and sufficiently vain, and frivolous withal, to have been a fine lady, and it was only the arbitrary distinctions of rank and station which prevented her from being one. "How lovely your hair do curl tonight, miss!" said the handmaiden. "I declare if it isn't a pity, and a shame to brush it out! Hold your tongue!" replied Miss Squeers wrathfully. Some considerable experience prevented the girl from being at all surprised at any outbreak of ill temper on the part of Miss Squeers. Having a half perception of what had occurred in the course of the evening, she changed her mode of making herself agreeable, and proceeded on the indirect tack. "Well, I couldn't help saying, miss, if he was to kill me for it," said the attendant, "that I never see nobody look so vulgar as Miss Price this night." Miss Squeers sighed, and composed herself to listen. "I know it's very wrong in me to say so, miss," continued the girl, delighted to see the impression she was making, Miss Price being a friend of yourn, and all. "But she do dress herself out so, and go on in such a manner to get noticed, that oh well, if people only saw themselves." "What do you mean, fib?" asked Miss Squeers, looking in her own little glass, where, like most of us, she saw not herself, but the reflection of some pleasant image, in her own brain. "How you talk!" "Talk, miss. It's enough to make a tomcat talk French grammar, only to see how she tosses her head," replied the handmaid. "She does toss her head," observed Miss Squeers, with an air of abstraction. "So vain, and so very, very plain," said the girl. "Poor Tilda!" sighed Miss Squeers, compassionately. "And always laying herself out so, to get to be admired," pursued the servant. "Oh, dear. It's positive and delicate. I can't allow you to talk in that way, fib," said Miss Squeers. "Tilda's friends are low people, and if she don't know any better, it's their fault, and not hers." "Well, but you know, miss," said Phoebe, for which name fib was used as a patronizing abbreviation, "if she was only to take copy by a friend, oh, if she only knew how wrong she was, and would but set herself right by you, what a nice young woman she might be in time." Rejoined Miss Squeers, with a stately air, "it's not proper for me to hear these comparisons drawn. They make Tilda look a coarse, improper sort of person, and it seems unfriendly in me to listen to them. I would rather you dropped the subject, fib. At the same time, I must say, that if Tilda Price would take pattern by somebody not me particularly, oh yes, you, miss," interposed fib. "Well, me, fib, if you will have it so," said Miss Squeers. "I must say, that if she would, she would be all the better for it. apostrophe, so somebody else thinks, or I am much mistaken, apostrophe, said the girl mysteriously. What do you mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded Miss Squeers. Never mind, miss, apostrophe, replied the girl, I know what I know, that's all. Apostrophe, fib, apostrophe, said Miss Squeers dramatically, I insist upon your explaining yourself. What is this dark mystery? Speak. Apostrophe, why, if you will have it, miss, it's this, apostrophe, said the servant girl. Mr. John Browdy thinks as you think, and if he wasn't too far gone to do it creditable, he'd be very glad to be off with Miss Price, and on with Miss Squeers. Apostrophe, gracious heavens! Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Miss Squeers, clasping her hands with great dignity. What is this? Apostrophe, truth, ma'am, and nothing but truth, apostrophe, replied the artful fib. What a situation! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Miss Squeers, on the brink of unconsciously destroying the peace and happiness of my own Tilda. What is the reason that men fall in love with me, whether I like it or not, and desert their chosen intendants for my sake? Apostrophe, apostrophe, because they can't help it, miss, apostrophe, replied the girl, the reason's plain. Apostrophe, if Miss Squeers were the reason, it was very plain. Never let me hear of it again, apostrophe, retorted Miss Squeers. Never. Do you hear? Tilda Price has faults, many faults, but I wish her well, and above all I wish her married, for I think it highly desirable, most desirable from the very nature of her failings, that she should be married, as soon as possible. No, fib. Let her have Mr. Browdy. I may pity him, poor fellow, but I have a great regard for Tilda, and only hope she may make a better wife than I think she will. Apostrophe, with this effusion of feeling, Miss Squeers went to bed. Spite is a little word, but it represents as strange a jumble of feelings, and compound of discords, as any polysyllable in the language. Miss Squeers knew as well in her heart of hearts, that what the miserable serving girl had said was sheer, coarse, lying flattery, as did the girl herself. Yet the mere opportunity of venting a little ill nature against the offending Miss Price, and affecting to compassionate her weaknesses and foibles, though only in the presence of a solitary dependent, was almost as great a relief to her spleen, as if the whole had been gospel truth. Nay, more. We have such extraordinary powers of persuasion, when they are exerted over ourselves, that Miss Squeers felt quite high-minded, and great after her noble renunciation of John Browdy's hand, and looked down upon her rival with a kind of holy calmness and tranquility, that had a mighty effect in soothing her ruffled feelings. This happy state of mind had some influence in bringing about a reconciliation. For, when a knock came at the front door next day, and the miller's daughter was announced, Miss Squeers betook herself to the parlor in a Christian frame of spirit, perfectly beautiful to behold. Well, Fanny, apostrophe, said the miller's daughter, you see I have come to see you, although we had some words last night. Apostrophe, I pity your bad passions, Tilda, apostrophe, replied Miss Squeers, but I bear no malice. I am above it. Apostrophe, don't be cross, Fanny, apostrophe, said Miss Price. I have come to tell you something that I know will please you. Apostrophe, what may that be, Tilda? Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded Miss Squeers, screwing up her lips, and looking as if nothing in earth, air, fire, or water, could afford her the slightest gleam of satisfaction. This, apostrophe, rejoined Miss Price. After we left here last night, John and I had a dreadful quarrel. Apostrophe, that doesn't please me, apostrophe, said Miss Squeers, relaxing into a smile though. Lor, I wouldn't think so bad of you, as to suppose it did, apostrophe, rejoined her companion. That's not it. Apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Squeers, relapsing into melancholy. Go on. apostrophe, after a great deal of wrangling, and saying we would never see each other anymore, apostrophe, continued Miss Price, we made it up, and this morning John went and wrote our names down to be put up, for the first time, next Sunday, so we shall be married in 3 weeks, and I give you notice to get your frock made. Apostrophe, there was mingled gall and honey in this intelligence. The prospect of the friends being married so soon was the gall, and the certainty of her not entertaining serious designs upon Nicholas was the honey. Upon the whole, the sweet greatly preponderated over the bitter, so Miss Squeers said she would get the frock made, and that she hoped Tilda might be happy, though at the same time she didn't know, and would not have her build too much upon it, for men were strange creatures, and a great many married women were very miserable, and wished themselves single again with all their hearts. To which condolences Miss Squeers added others equally calculated to raise her friend's spirits, and promote her cheerfulness of mind. But come now, Fanny, apostrophe, said Miss Price, I want to have a word or two with you about young Mr. Nickleby. Apostrophe, he is nothing to me, apostrophe, interrupted Miss Squeers, with hysterical symptoms. I despise him too much. Apostrophe, oh, you don't mean that, I am sure? Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied her friend. Confess, Fanny, don't you like him now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, without returning any direct reply, Miss Squeers, all at once, fell into a paroxysm of spiteful tears, and exclaimed that she was a wretched, neglected, miserable castaway. I hate everybody, apostrophe, said Miss Squeers, and I wish that everybody was dead that I do. Apostrophe, dear, dear, apostrophe, said Miss Price, quite moved by this avowal of misanthropical sentiments. You are not serious, I am sure. Apostrophe, yes, I am, apostrophe, rejoined Miss Squeers, tying tight knots in her pocket handkerchief and clenching her teeth. And I wish I was dead too. There. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, you'll think very differently in another 5 minutes, apostrophe, said Matilda. How much better to take him into favor again, than to hurt yourself, by going on in that way. Wouldn't it be much nicer, now, to have him all to yourself on good terms, in a company-keeping, love-making, pleasant sort of manner? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't know, but what it would, apostrophe, sobbed Miss Squeers. Oh, Tilda, how could you have acted so mean and dishonorable? I wouldn't have believed it of you, if anybody had told me. Apostrophe, heyday. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Miss Price, giggling. One would suppose I had been murdering somebody at least. Apostrophe, very nigh as bad, apostrophe, said Miss Squeers passionately. And all this, because I happen to have enough of good looks to make people civil to me, apostrophe, cried Miss Price. Persons don't make their own faces, and it's no more my fault, if mine is a good one than it is other people's fault, if theirs is a bad one. Apostrophe, hold your tongue, apostrophe, shrieked Miss Squeers, in her shrillest tone, or you'll make me slap you, Tilda, and afterwards I should be sorry for it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is needless to say, that, by this time, the temper of each young lady was in some slight degree affected by the tone of her conversation, and that a dash of personality was infused into the altercation, in consequence. Indeed, the quarrel, from slight beginnings, rose to a considerable height, and was assuming a very violent complexion, when both parties, falling into a great passion of tears, exclaimed simultaneously that they had never thought of being spoken to in that way. Which exclamation, leading to a remonstrance, gradually brought on an explanation. And the upshot was that they fell into each other's arms and vowed eternal friendship, the occasion in question making the 52nd time of repeating the same impressive ceremony within a 12-month. Perfect amicability being thus restored, a dialogue naturally ensued upon the number and nature of the garments which would be indispensable for Miss Price's entrance into the holy state of matrimony, when Miss Squeers clearly showed that a great many more than the miller could, or would, afford, were absolutely necessary, and could not decently be dispensed with. The young lady then, by an easy digression, led the discourse to her own wardrobe, and after recounting its principal beauties at some length, took her friend upstairs to make inspection thereof. The treasures of two drawers and a closet having been displayed, and all the smaller articles tried on, it was time for Miss Price to return home, and as she had been in raptures with all the frocks, and had been stricken quite dumb with admiration of a new pink scarf, Miss Squeers said in high good humor that she would walk part of the way with her, for the pleasure of her company, and off they went together. Miss Squeers dilating, as they walked along, upon her father's accomplishments, and multiplying his income by 10, to give her friend some faint notion of the vast importance and superiority of her family. It happened that that particular time, comprising the short daily interval which was suffered to elapse between what was pleasantly called the dinner of Mr. Squeers' pupils, and their return to the pursuit of useful knowledge, was precisely the hour when Nicholas was accustomed to issue forth for a melancholy walk, and to brood, as he sauntered listlessly through the village, upon his miserable lot. Miss Squeers knew this perfectly well, but had perhaps forgotten it, for when she caught sight of that young gentleman advancing towards them, she evinced many symptoms of surprise and consternation, and assured her friend that she felt fit to drop into the earth. Apostrophe, shall we turn back, or run into a cottage? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Miss Price. He don't see us yet. Apostrophe, no, tilde, apostrophe, replied Miss Squeers, it is my duty to go through with it, and I will. Apostrophe, apostrophe, as Miss Squeers said this, in the tone of one who has made a high moral resolution, and was, besides, taken with one or two chokes and catchings of breath, indicative of feelings at a high pressure, her friend made no further remark, and they bore straight down upon Nicholas, who, walking with his eyes bent upon the ground, was not aware of their approach until they were close upon him. Otherwise, he might, perhaps, have taken shelter himself. Good morning, apostrophe, said Nicholas, bowing, and passing by. He is going, apostrophe, murmured Miss Squeers. I shall choke, tilde. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.